Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Esprit.net News.
I want to get the language right tonight.
This is America. The president is
don't ever let anybody tell you that your efforts don't matter.
This is not a war zone. These are unarmed people.
Politicians and commentators.
Don't let anybody take your man.
Did I remind you that I've done this before?
It doesn't make you tough to hurt these people.
You have tuned into Independent Thought Radio, where we cover world and national news with current affairs. Some good, some bad, but it's all the news you need to know. I'm your host, Jerome Esprit, bringing you straight talk outside the headlines. So sit back and relax, call in, or hit us up in chat. Now, as long as you're ready, we're ready. Welcome again to Esprit.net News. You can call in and join us, 909-265-9189. I had to start it off with that because I normally forget it until a little bit later. So, hey, dial in and join the program. If this is your first time here, this is where we do a weekly news wrap-up show. All the news you need to know in just one setting. And every time I say that, you know, with our news you can use, it makes me think of Lucy Sanchez Abreu. So if you're listening, Lucy, hey. And we're here live Thursday, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time if you want to catch us live or post to the archives. So, hey, we're going to post the show anyway. Now, on this program, it is Black History Month, and we're going to talk about the concept of kumbaya. What does that mean? And also, you know, last week I don't think I talked about Lena Horne. You know, she had a forever stamp. So, you know, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about some other Black history. I hate to call them Black history facts, but, you know, some people who we're going to highlight for this month. And also, Prince fans are up in arms over a Super Bowl joke. And that joke was provided by some putts named Justin Timberlake, but we'll talk about that. And R&B star Temptation, Dennis Edwards, passed away last week. I didn't talk about that on our last show, so we'll talk about that on this one. And the Olympic doping bans, that ban of 28 Russian athletes, that was overturned, although the Olympics still refused. It was overturned in the courts, but the Olympics still refused to let them participate under the Olympic flag. Also, Bermuda becomes the first country to repeal laws allowing same-sex marriage, and the reviews for Marvel's upcoming Black Panther film are in, and they're all good like they were supposed to be. So we have that this week in court and much more, but I want to welcome you on to the show. You're listening to Esprit.net News. Again, you can call in and join us at 909-265-9189. And for those who are in the chat, I just want to say welcome. And those on the phone lines, say hey and how are you doing? And hit 1 if you would like to come in at any time. Now, our first story, well, before we get to our first story, it's Black History Month. So many campers in America and around the world know this favorite song, Kumbaya. Now, it's known as a song of peace, a song of community. Few may know, however, that the song was first recorded by descendants of slaves in the Gullah Geechee community of Darien in southeastern Georgia. Now, the Gullah Geechees have now been credited with the song's origin, and a resolution recognizing Georgia's first state historical song has been enacted. Now, if you don't know, Kumbaya means come by here in Gullah. So when it should have made sense to me a long time ago that that's just not some song that was just made up and passed down through, you know, Sigmund Freud or some one of those nuts. It was something that came out of the Gullah Geechee community. And that, you know, that's kind of South Carolina, Georgia, but this particular song was southeastern Georgia. And it was a plea to God for help. So Kumbaya means come by here. So whenever you hear that song, you know, Kumbaya, Kumbaya, that just means come by here, my Lord, come by here. And someone's crying, my Lord, Kumbaya. And someone's singing, Kumbaya. Someone's praying, Kumbaya. So if you don't know, now you know. That is one of the things I want to leave you with Black History Month, but also for Black History Month, I wanted to start the show off with. And one of the other things I wanted to talk about is John Dove. Now, John Dove is the creator of the technology that we know built CD with CD-ROM and laser light technology. This is where you can put a million bits of information on a pinhead. So most of our TV, our technology now, whether it's TV, base, DVR, CD, LaserDisc, your Alexa, all of that stuff, a black man, John Dove, created. And he said that he created it in about 1968, and he's fought with them for a long time, and he received his patents on that technology. And John Dove, who is no longer with us, is, you know, I knew John Dove, so I just want to say, out of respect for John Dove, that if you want to go find out any more information, and it should be in everybody's curriculum, since technology is driving everything, that it's based or its foundation or... Yeah, foundation of a lot of this technology is on the creation of John Dove. So if you want to find out more information, just type in johndove.org and go look up some information on John Dove. There you have it for all you teachers that are listening and those people who want to know more information. There you have it. Now, Dennis Edwards, who was in The Temptations, died at the age of 74 from complications related to meningitis. He is best known as the lead singer of, you know, The Temptations. When he came in, you know, his family said that he passed away in Chicago, which was one day shy of his 75th birthday. He was born in 1932 in Fairfield, Alabama. Edwards began singing as a child. When the family moved to Detroit, he began singing in his church choir. He went to join several different groups, but none of them stuck, is what they're saying. Then in 1968, he replaced David Ruffin in The Temptations, and the hits started coming, like Just My Imagination, you know, Run Away With Me, and Papa Was a Rolling Stone, and many songs by The Temptations. But that song was released in early 1972, hit the number 24 spot in the R&B charts. His first solo album is Don't Look Any Farther. Now, it reached number 2 in the R&B charts when he released that. He was wed to Ruth Pointer from the Pointer Sisters from 1976 to 77, and they have one daughter, Issa Porter. So that was... you know, David Ruffin. And by the way, you know, as an update to the story, Chicago police confirmed on Monday that they're investigating whether the singer, Dennis Edwards, was abused by his current wife, Brenda Edwards. So the investigator has filed a protective order on Edwards' behalf on January 12th, alleging that his wife, you know, hit his hearing aid and some other stuff, but I'm not going to go into that. But I want to celebrate Dennis Edwards. I should have put some music on the board for Dennis Edwards, but maybe next week I'll make sure I have some on there. So, you know, don't look any further. It's going to be it's going to be played. Now, former ESPN SportsCenter anchor set the record straight on why she was joining Undefeated. Now, Jemele Hill tweeted out a brief statement on Friday, putting rumors to rest that she was demoted So she joined undefeated, and she said it was her decision because she wanted to return to reporting, writing, and commentary. So she was not fired from Sports Center 6, or SC6 is what they called it. But, you know, she wasn't fired, but she thought it would be more freedom for her to actually go back to writing as a columnist and reporting from from that perspective, reporting, writing, and commentary. So just want to shout out Jemele Hill and say that we're with you. Now, voter registration rolls in 21 states were targeted by Russian hackers before the 2016 presidential election, according to a new report. Now, Gene Manfra, the head of cybersecurity at the Department of Homeland Security, told NBC the Russians only successfully infiltrated only a few states. It's not believed that the Russians were able to alter the voter rolls. However, the fact that they were able to breach the rolls in multiple states raised concerns about the upcoming 2018 midterm election. So if they actually can get to them, they can actually alter them. There was no evidence that they altered them for the last election, but nobody's saying that they didn't. And they're not saying how many states were breached either. They just said it wasn't many. So here we go. You know, putting doubt into the election season that's coming up. And I'm sure as the Republicans get spanked all over the country, they'll blame it on the Russians because they're not blaming it on them now. Just thought I'd share that. Now, Los Angeles-based comedian Jim Carrey is selling his Facebook shares and has urged other people to do the same over concerns about the Russian involvement during the U.S. election. Now, he is the biggest known entertainer or star to actually come out to say he is doing something personally because of Facebook's, I guess, their participation inside of this Russian involvement to the U.S. elections. Now, Facebook, along with Twitter, you know, gave regulators a really hard time, wasn't forthcoming with information about how they, you know, interfered and how many ads were placed and specifically who they were targeting. Facebook did not disclose that until later, until they were caught out there. So Jim Carrey is the first star that I know of and that I'm aware of that actually came out to say, hey, you know what? We're done with you. So he's selling his Facebook shares, and he is done. Now, Facebook, in other news, may be developing a system to automatically detect how rich or poor you are. Now, so there's a new patent that reveals how the site can track your socioeconomic status. The patent shows Facebook has developed a system to track users' socioeconomic status, and the system uses information like education, home ownership, travel history, and internet usage. So if you don't know, even when you sign off Facebook, if you close Facebook and not sign out, it is still tracking your browser history. So Facebook is gathering information, and they may be developing a way to, you know, put you in categories for socioeconomic reasons, probably for ad selling, most likely. So I can say that for certainty that they're just going to put everybody into their own little pile and advertise to them. So here we go. Facebook put out a patent. It's a patent. It doesn't say that it works yet, but they actually submitted a patent for tracking socioeconomic status. Now, there's a study out that says the smartest people have the most willpower. And chimpanzees are no different, is what scientists reveal. So researchers from Georgia State University have found the same link between willpower and intelligence in chimpanzees that have previously only been found in humans. So I don't know if this is a study that says that chimpanzees are like humans, or is it just telling us that humans, if you're human, smart people have more willpower. I don't know what the study is, where they're going with this, but it was actually done more for the study of the chimpanzees more than it was on humans. But nevertheless, that's the gist of that story. Now, researchers from Columbia's Business School in New York suggest that air pollution drives up crime rates because exposing you to contaminants makes us more anxious. So the overall study is saying people, especially in urban areas or areas that are really polluted, it is contributing to crime or violent crime or, you know, asthma and other things based on the contaminants that are in our air. Now, tell us something that we don't know, but this is research from Columbia's Business School. Hey, you know, like I say, people can hear the information a little differently when it comes out in the study, but I think we kind of all know that. Now, you're listening to AspreeNet News. You can call in and join us at 909-265-9189. If you're already on the line, hey, and what's up? You know, you can always hit one. I will bring you in. If you are listening in the archives, we are on 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So, you know, or you can check us out on iTunes if you want to, you know, have it automatically downloaded to your iPad or your tablet or your phone. Hey, you can always download us and listen to us anytime. Now, fracking has been linked to breast cancer. The chemicals used in that high-pressured gas and oil extraction, they're saying, causes uncontrollable cell division. So researchers from the University of Massachusetts found uncontrollable cell division occurs in mice exposed to chemicals used in fracking, which contaminate the water supply, by the way. So there we have it, another pollution story. Bermuda has become the first country to repeal laws allowing same-sex marriage. So Bermuda's Senate and House Assembly passed the legislation to repeal same-sex marriage after a majority of voters opposed same-sex marriage in a referendum. Now they finally voted on it. Now, it doesn't say if the president has the ability to veto this, but it just really just says it became the first company to repeal it. So since the House and Senate passed the legislation, I think it's going to be law. Amazon, if you are into getting your food delivered through your Amazon Prime account, Amazon can now deliver Whole Foods groceries to your doorstep under 2 hours. I was going to say within, but I guess we want to keep our words straight, under 2 hours. Now, Whole Foods, now owned by Amazon, will deliver its products via Amazon Prime Now service. The service is available in certain neighborhoods in Austin, Texas, Cincinnati, Ohio, Dallas, Texas, and Virginia Beach. I don't know if it's coming to a Whole Foods near you, but those are the areas that they're starting out in. So we're going to see if this trend continues. You know, I actually had a thought about just calling an Uber and having them go to a restaurant and pick up some food for me, but I don't think that's going to work, that somebody will do that. But, hey, Amazon made it a part of their overall business model, I guess, for Whole Foods. Now, Twitter has earned $91 million in the fourth quarter of 2017. That's up from the $167 million loss during the same period last year. Now, if you don't know, this marks Twitter's first profit in 4 years as a public company. They have not made any money. This is the first one. Now, it kind of reminds me of Amazon. Amazon did not break even for 10 years as much money as that guy Jeff Bezos has. They didn't break even for 10 years. Now, Twitter, after 4 years, has now had a profitable quarter. It doesn't mean they're going to be profitable for the year, but their first profitable quarter is the fourth quarter of 2017. Now, CVS will raise its hourly pay from $9 to $11 and offer paid family leave to all full-time employees on what they're saying is on the tax reform. Now, the company said Thursday that it will use the tax breaks to raise starting pay force hourly workers by 22% and give full-time employees 4 weeks of paid parental leave. Now, again, I really don't like to do commentary on news that much, but I just think that that's a joke by CVS. So there you have it. They're getting two more dollars as CVS probably gets a couple $1 billion in tax breaks. But, yeah, you can go check that out yourself. Now, the reviews for Marvel's upcoming Black Panther film are in. And it's, you know, it has won nearly universal praise from critics. And, you know, coveted the 100% fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes. Now, I know there was a lot of internet chatter and some Facebook groups of some crazy folks who were trying to sabotage the 100% rating because not many films have gotten 100% rating on that site. And Black Panther is one to do that. So it's starring Chadwick Boseman, Michael B. Jordan, Oscar winner Lupita Nyong'o, and the movie has been praised for turning racial stereotypes on their head. So Kevin Amar, who wrote for the London Times, that director Ryan Coogler, who was directed Creed, and a charismatic cast led by Chadwick Boseman and Lupita Nyong'o, turned racial cliches on their head and dragged some heavy Shakespearean conflict to create a vivid yarn that's entirely new, frequently startling, and at every step along the way, all Marvel. Now, the upcoming Black Panther film will open in Britain on February 13th and America 3 days later. Now, if you don't know, the character itself is the brainchild of Stan Lee and Jack Kirby and made its first comic book appearance 52 years ago in 1966. Now, the year the actual Black Panther Party formed in the United States. So, shout out to Stan Lee. If you don't know, with his Marvel comics, even with the X-Men, Stan Lee put Malcolm X in it, which is Professor X, and Martin Luther King in it, which is Magneto character. So he consciously did that. So Stan Lee, who attended the premiere for Black Panther, by the way, is still around and doing wonders. So forward thinking of Stan Lee, finally have a Black Panther film. And by the way, this is supposed to be the most technologically advanced society in the whole Marvel universe. So whether it's the Superman franchise or whomever Marvel has as a cast of characters, the Black Panthers universe or their setting is supposed to be the most technological of any of the Marvel programs in the past. Plus, you know, they spent over $100 million to make this Marvel movie. So I am glad that it actually turned out, it's turning out to be such, you know, critically acclaimed. Now, on that note, let's go to the phone lines and bring in my brother Loki. How you doing, brother Loki?
What's up?
What's up? Yeah, I didn't know if you came in on the Marvel thing, but, you know, it's kind of one of those things.
Actually, I was listening from the beginning.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, I was listening. Some pretty good articles on some of the news articles, man. Some things that are going on. Pretty interesting stuff.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah. Was there anyone in particular that you picked up on?
Well, I like the Black History point you make with you know, him creating the material or the idea, and then finally getting his patent, because you know how difficult it was to get patents.
Yes. Yeah. And he actually told me the story of that. You know, he told me that J. Edgar Hoover threw him up under the hot lights. Like, they snatched him, kept him in a room, asked him what country was he working for, and, you know, the head of the patent office in court said, we don't want to give you the patent, said to the judge, if we give him the patent, he will have exclusive rights to this technology that we don't have. And the judge said, that's what a patent is, and gave him his patent. So, you know, he told me that. Yeah, he told me that privately. But the thing that's important is that it still was not easy. You can do these incredible feats, but he caught hell for it too. You know what I mean? So, you know, I hope his daughter, who was in California, I hope she's keeping up the fight, because even with the big guys like Sony and I think it was maybe Xerox, it was a couple of the big guys, they wouldn't pay him. All the smaller guys would pay royalties on that technology, but they wouldn't, and they kept putting it in an escrow account because they did not want to pay him. So,
right, hoping it would go away. I mean, so that's why I say that subject and that person is worth more research. And I'd love to dig into that myself and just, you know, get a little more history on it and pass it on to, you know, young black children so that they understand, you know.
Yep, it's johndove.org is the website. You can go look at that. And it has the patent numbers of, you know, some of the things that he invented along with that technology and some other things. And there were, you know, at least five things that I know of that he was working on when he passed. So one of the things that he told me, and I can let this go because I think I saw a news story where some technology company was doing this, but he was patenting this. So I don't know if it's a part of his patent, but he was I can't think of how to say this, but it was a way to measure wind shear in airplanes using a laser.
Mm-hmm.
And they were using this clean room in the University of Arizona, that it's the biggest, you know, jet facility clean room in the country. And he was patenting that technology. And I think he had the patent, but again, he passed away, and now you're seeing, you know, oh, we have this new invention out. So nobody's saying who invented it, but some company actually has it. So, again, I hope his family, his daughters are in the loop on that. But, yeah, that's one of the other fantastic things that he came out of his brain. And, you know, it kind of fits in with the Black Panther story, too, is because when you see the film, and if I've only seen, you know, the synopsis and just some clips on it, but just knowing that it's supposed to be the most technological advanced of all the Marvel Universe stuff, like it's almost future-based, and it has, you know, an all-black cast, and it's coming from an Afrocentric perspective, or black perspective, I should say, and knowing that they're leaving the technology stuff in the Marvel Universe heavily on the black folk side is, for me, impressive. So,
well, when you go back
sense.
And look at some of the stories or some of the spinoffs prior to Black Panther, the fact that Captain America's shield comes from there, a lot of the technology that Iron Man is utilizing stems from there. So, I mean, you know, and I think they're going to tie that in with this movie where you see all that, you know, and props are paid to that fact. So that's really good.
Yeah, I actually think it's really good.
I had a question for you, though, based on news.
Uh-huh.
And you might have covered this in one of your past stories. Dr. Epps, not going on that flight to the moon.
I did not talk about her. Jeanette Epps, the astronaut who was supposed to go to the International Space Center next year, has been booted off of that trip. Now, the trip hasn't been canceled, but she has been taken off of it. And I have hesitated on talking about this story, but I'm glad you're on to talk about this because, you know, I saw the news story where her brother was saying it was pretty much because of race. And it's interesting that after Obama administration leaves, Trump comes in and they take the only black woman off of, you know, nobody else. Everybody else is still going. She is the only one that can go.
Right, and no true explanation given.
No. No explanation at all.
And that's something that you know, I don't see a lot of folks covering. I mean, that's something to dig into. That's huge. That woman Dr. Epps worked really hard to get where she is. And to, you know, be removed from the list. And I'm sure she was told something, but, you know, you have millions of people wondering what is going on.
Yeah. And we shouldn't leave it up to her to expose this either. I mean, she's still an astronaut. She's a very bright woman. And full disclosure, she is an alumni from our school. Actually, I know, remember her sister? Remember her family. And so, you know, I didn't know she was a twin. I didn't realize that she had another twin sister. But just to know that somebody needs to do that story and keep exposing them. And NASA is not giving out any information on it. Of course, I think anybody who's a White House correspondent, they need to start poking those guys, you know, because we know we have a lot of, you know, supremacists in the White House these days, from John Kelly and all those guys making racial statements and having their biases. We need to actually start asking, did they have a hand in actually getting her off of that mission? I think it's something that needs to be asked.
I think, you know, black media needs to do better at informing the country as to what took place. That's a major, major, major case that she would be prepared to do what was required of her, did it very well, and qualified for the mission to be removed from the mission, and then, you know, it's just swept under the rug.
Yeah, she's been preparing for that mission for at least 2 years. So, you know, she's already been through the training, and they know she's qualified to go. You know, on that note, let's bring in the commish. Let's bring in Kathleen, because I'm sure Kathleen is going to have something for us on this. How are you, Kathleen? I shouldn't put the pressure on you. How are you? Oh, she's quiet. She has us on mute.
I'm good. Yes, it was on mute, though, but, yeah, I caught it. Thank you, though, for reminding me. there's so much to say about that, but I just wanted for the listeners to also be aware, not only that she was removed from the mission, but replaced by a white woman. So it's just so blatant.
Oh, see, I didn't know that part.
Yeah.
I didn't know who she was replaced by.
Yeah, she was replaced by a white woman. So it's more than blatant when you just see the pictures and you say, okay, she was removed, and then you see the woman who replaced her, and you're like, okay, well, and no explanation at all as to why this happened. But we don't even need the explanation, because even if they try to explain it, it's pretty obvious what happened here. And the reason why I want the explanation is because it's so obvious. You know, like, what are you really going to say about why you had to replace her? Of course, they'll try to come up and, you know, discredit her some kind of way, some kind of reason.
Right.
But she hasn't, as far as I know so far, she has not made a comment. And I appreciate so much, you know, you saying that black media has to do a better job. And then when I think about it, it's like, who is the black? I think that would be us, right? There is
right.
No black. Roland Martin was removed. And as far as I can see, besides Here and Now, that just does interviews of, you know, interesting things on Sunday, and aside from Reverend Al Sharpton, who's on 1190 AM, and I guess Politics Nation, there's no other black media sources, at least not in New York, that I'm aware of. So maybe around the country you all might have other things, but we don't have any other black media here. That would be us.
Right, which means that the smaller groups have to take up the torch And this story cannot die and be buried like they would like it to.
You know, low-key, I'm thinking Kamish didn't know that was you on the line. She probably haven't heard you in a while.
Of course I did not. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know she didn't.
You know, you know what?
That's wrong,
you know,
right?
What? When you said bring in the Kamish, I almost played my theme music, Bow Down.
See, and
I started
to do that. I figured she did not know, so I just wanted her to finish her thought before we told her.
Thank you.
No.
I haven't heard your voice in so long, man. How you doing?
I'm great. I'm great. Absolutely great. How are you?
I'm doing great, too. Let's get
you know,
it
now. And I was like, when he said, let's bring in the commission, I was like, oh, man, I should have cued my theme music. Bow down.
Yeah. I'm about to put that on the board. We're going to have to give her theme music. I'm giving you both theme music. So both of y'all know when you're on, you'll have the bed running under you every time we bring you on.
I was waiting for that. I was waiting for that. Let's bring in the commish. I mean, you know.
Yeah, yeah. No. She's got theme music now. Thanks for putting that out there. You now have theme music.
Yeah.
I love it.
Now, okay, I don't know who watched the Super Bowl, but, you know, I won't really go through the game too much. But I am one of those people who enjoyed Justin Timberlake getting dragged all over social media about his halftime show and his Prince tribute. You know, Prince fans turned on him, slamming him, his underwhelming Super Bowl halftime show. And here's why. Reports have come out since then that he did plan on having a hologram of Prince up there. And Prince, in his 1998 interview, matter of fact, Sheila E., you know, she tweeted and she mentioned that Prince, when those rumors start coming out, she said that Prince told her that she to make sure that there's never a hologram of him. So, you know, they reached out, I guess his manager, somebody reached out to Sheila E. She talked to him. He said, no, we're not doing a hologram. And Prince said he had no interest in using that effects, allowing him to perform with a deceased artist. He said the whole virtual thing is really demonic. He continued and said, I'm not a demon. To prevent this kind of thing from happening is another reason why I want artistic control. So certainly not. That's the most demonic thing imaginable, is what he said in 1998. So for anybody who's a Prince fan, kind of almost knows that Prince is a Jehovah's Witness, and he did not like stuff like that. And so Justin Timberlake.
What are several things, man?
What happened?
There's several things. First of all, he and Justin Timberlake weren't getting along in the first place. And they had issues. You know, Prince had issues with them. The other thing is the family did not approve of this happening. The bank that owned the rights to his estate signed off on it.
Right. Right. So I do have the quote from Sharon Nelson, and what she said is that she confirmed that under no circumstances did we approve this. And she said that it didn't come from the family, but Justin Timberlake says it came from the estate. So here's the deal for all the Prince fans and why everybody was dragging Justin Timberlake is because while the estate is handling, it's like what they are doing to Michael Jackson's stuff, you know, selling his rights and stuff. So the estate and Warner Brothers can give the images, like all he has to do is go to Warner Brothers, and they gave him the image of Prince, and they had old Super Bowl footage that they can use, and the estate is making those decisions without the family, knowing the family disagrees with it. So even when he rented Paisley Park to do a listening party, which they haven't rented out Paisley Park since Prince passed, the estate rented out Paisley Park, and he applied for a liquor license knowing that Prince did not drink. So he didn't allow liquor in Paisley Park. So he got drugged through the internet for that. Well, now columnist Jemele Hill delivered a damning verdict. She said, the problem is a lot of people down with Prince know he didn't approve. Film producer Adam Best wrote, "Prince tribute would have been cool, except Prince specifically said that he didn't want that. Even in death, Prince continues to be misunderstood. Affinity magazine wrote that Prince didn't like Justin Timberlake. It's kind of rude to use his image for that performance." Singer Sarah Stokes wrote, "I'm so irritated. You don't do Prince like that. It's not a good tribute to a legend." And Anthony Bourdain, now, you know, the guy who eats really nasty stuff around the world, he said a few moments of Prince made the whole enterprise look tiny in comparison. And comedian Sinbad, right, which is my favorite quote, said, "Okay," and put the kids to bed because I'm not gonna bleep him. He said, "Okay, punk ass Justin Timberlake, you were cool until you pulled this Prince BS," and he actually did not use the initials. He said, "You dissed Prince on the track of yours. You dissed him on stage when you lowered the mic on stage when Prince won an award at the Golden Globes in 2007." And he said, "Later for your ass," is how he ended that. But what Justin Timberlake did is that Prince couldn't make the award. So when he found out that Prince wasn't there and wasn't accepting the award, he lowered the mic down. Because Justin Timberlake's a prick. So we just need to say that for what it's worth, whatever that means to anybody. And but anyway, so Steely did say, "Prince told me, don't let anybody do a hologram of him for religious reasons. So I just posted that. If this is happening, it's kind of messed up and not cool," is what she said.
And you know, the footage for that hologram is from his 1985 concert in the Dome.
Oh, was it?
In Syracuse.
Was that the one they were going to use?
Yes.
Yes.
That was it. You know, and I have other issues with Justin, not just this past weekend. The whole Janet Jackson thing for
Janet
me.
Janet Jackson.
I'm one of those people, if he crossed my path, he better have a couple of security people with him.
You got that
you
right.
Know.
See, I'm with you.
The disrespect.
I'm with you.
Disrespect of Janet alone should have, you know, I don't see how people went out and continued to support him, you know, because the first thing he did was run and tuck his head when the FCC came at Janet. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Right. How do you pull off, how do you rip her clothes off and then say, "Hey, I ain't had nothing to do with it"? And that's pretty much the stand that he took. And I remember Janet's interview not too long after that, and she said, "Oh, I'll see him." They said, "Well, what do you have to say to him?" She said, "Nothing, I'll see him." I think Janet wanted to whoop his butt too. Like, she was just like, "All right." You know, because you know that you were only supposed to take off the top layer, but he got aggressive. And like I always said, if Busta Rhymes would have ripped off Celine Dion's dress, they would have Busta Rhymes would have been banned up in his face. But they let Justin Timberlake off.
They would have probably banned every black band from performing in the Super Bowl ever again in the history. Yeah,
wow.
In the history of the world.
Never ever.
Right.
Never ever be another black
man.
Yeah,
well, he got a pass. And that for me, I mean, and then I had an issue, period. You know, because I felt like, yeah, listen, people of color, he gets no pass. He gets no pass.
Yeah. You know, that disturbs me a little bit, and I mask that a little bit, and I don't know why. But I know younger black folks like Justin Timberlake. Okay, whatever. Timberland did his music. I like ABC, Duran Duran, and, you know, but I realized Niles Rogers, Chic, those guys produced all that music. Robert Palmer and all them back in the days. So Justin Timberlake stuff was produced by Timberland. It's not like Justin Timberlake is John B. or somebody who actually made that music that appeals to us. He was being produced to have a certain sound. So that whole fake Elvis thing throws me when I see people, like, you know, go all out to say, "Well, you know, I kind of like him, whatever. He's assimilating, and now he thinks he owns you." Because when you start taking a shot at, like, Janet and Prince and stuff, and you knew in the game, and his whole thing was when someone interviewed Prince, he just made an off-the-cuff remark when they said something about, you know, Justin Timberlake is bringing sexy back, and Prince said sexy never left. So he thinks since he's doing the game, he could take a shot at Prince, like he was equivalent or up to par with him. Now, I think the Super Bowl is wrong too for having it in Minneapolis, and didn't invite some Minneapolis groups or somebody to do a tribute to Prince. They're always
I was looking for the Prince cover band. I mean, you know, at least the Prince cover band.
Time or no, but I'm
you
saying
know.
You can literally.
And to be honest, I watched the game off and on, you know, checking in and out. I kind of thought he was the warm up act. I didn't realize he was the main act. You know,
he did.
I can't wait for somebody else to come on. But that's what they're doing.
I know. We're like, here we go. Y'all done? All right, Kathleen, you've been a little quiet on this. I know. Hopefully, we're not you're not a undercover Justin Timberlake fan, and we got you to fade to the woodwork. Kathleen's a little quiet on it. She got us on mute. She must be driving. she must be on mute. Okay, no, I have her up. So when you want to take yourself
off
mute,
you
Kathleen.
I'm sorry.
I said you. I was just saying that you were a little quiet, so I didn't know if you were a Justin Timberlake fan that we were like running you out.
Oh my God! I'm quiet because I don't want to get beat on non-FCC. You know, I don't want
airwaves.
God to beat me over here. So I'm just like, let me just be quiet because I don't like him. I haven't even uttered his name since that incident with Janet. And I just get so pissed off that for me, I'm not talking about white folks really. I'm just talking about black people that could still embrace or allow themselves to either purchase his music, listen to his music, or not shut that whole NFL Super Bowl football thing. The whole thing was such a blatant insult to Black Lives Mattering. It just pissed me off to no end. So you're going to be in Minneapolis to letting some white guy come in and do a tribute to a black man that didn't like him in the first place, let him run riffshod with his music, do a poor job with it when you have Sheila E. You have so many people that were even in his – that would really do justice to a true tribute to that man. If you want him to perform, let him perform, but don't utter Prince's name, okay? Just don't do it. Go do your JT, whatever your thing is, and leave him alone. Why you gotta pull Prince into that? Why? And if you are gonna pull Prince into it, find an artist who can do justice to the excellence and the legend that this man is. Why would you do that? And so, and for black people to just not go bananas over it just, like, pissed me off so bad. I just, like, look, I didn't turn it on. I didn't watch it on YouTube. I didn't even listen
Cody
when they started talking about him. I didn't even listen to it. I didn't even listen to the comments about it. It's just, like, yeah. And, you know, the same thing we talked about with Whitney Houston and having, who was it, Christina Aguilera? Doing that tribute to her, right? And so people are like, oh, well, that's what Whitney wanted. Well, you know what?
That's not what Whitney.
I'm
going to
pause
not,
right there. I'm just going to pause right there.
Yeah, I think I better stop, too. I was going to say something that here's
but
the thing.
It goes to show, though. It goes to show that we don't use our voices enough when it matters. I mean, when you can have Christina Aguilera doing a tribute to Whitney, who that? I might have to stop too because I might say some things.
well, here's the thing. Okay, so the Grammys is white, right? That's what they do, right? American Music Awards, they're white. They're gonna always like kind of co-opt our stuff. So my thought about this is that we should not let them off the hook, like what both of you guys are saying. We can't let them off the hook. So when they try to sell that bull back to us, we need to be like, look, you're whack, and get up out of here. Because just like even in the Michael Jackson case, you know, one of the things that I was – and I watched the whole thing that they broadcast as far as his services was concerned. And it was cool that Brooke Shields was there. Everybody knows that Brooke Shields was a longtime friend of his. But Usher performed, They had, you know, everybody who can give a tribute to him talent-wise, they made it a homegoing for him more than they made it Hollywood to make everybody else feel comfortable. I don't care what the Grammys does and all those guys do later. But when they started bringing up, what's her name, Tori somebody for a Prince tribute, I'm like, what are y'all doing? There are so many good guitar players. I don't know if you've ever heard it, if you know, anyone in the audience wants to YouTube this. When Prince first died, he first passed, Mint Condition did a tribute to Prince. And the guitar player that played Purple Rain, that dude did not play. There are so many talented people who are already out there. And, you know, they knew Prince. They actually toured and was his backup band while he was out there performing. You can bring so many people to give somebody a proper, respectful, like, tribute, opposed to saying, hey, let's whiten up the tribute because he meant something to us too. It is what supremacy is, and it's why we don't get, you know, again, I know we talked about Black Panther earlier, but it's why I'm kind of proud of even that franchise doing what it's doing or before it even comes out, because it's important that we still have some identity. If we can't have it in life and then you take it in death, good Lord, they just whitened up Nefertiti the other day. Like, I'm like, we can't have nobody. Like, every time they go back, it's like, you know, so, you know, you'll be lighting them up just to make yourselves feel superior. So in that Prince case, I always feel like that. Go ahead.
Don't let me do the Slowly I Turned now. I don't know if you all remember Slowly I Turned.
Yes.
Okay, so don't let me do the Slowly I Turned on Zoe Saldana and Nina Simone, okay? Don't let me go there.
Hey, I start to fire up a black-on-black crime for that one. Oh, man. There
wow.
Go. Oh. No, wait a minute. It's and one of the things I want to say that Tom Brady's baby's mama, speaking of the Super Bowl, she typed. Now this is Bridget Moynihan. She trolled her ex by applauding Nick Foles and joking that the Super Bowl confetti was made out of shredded concussion studies. She is mad at him.
Wow.
Because of course. Tom Brady has been hit in the head quite a few times, but she was an unlikely cheerleader of Philadelphia Eagles on that night. Tom Brady's ex was throwing stones, and of course you may have heard about the his wife comforting their children by saying, "Sometimes you have to let other people win, or you have to let someone else win." Sometimes is what she told him. You lost. You got beat. You better tell your kids the truth. Them little kids go spaz out when they get their butt whooped like their daddy did. That was a Debo.
So like, stop.
Come get knocked out. Like, yeah.
Yeah. You know what I thought was hilarious? And they didn't show a lot of, they don't talk a lot about it, is Kevin Hart trying to get on the stage.
I did see that, and I turned my head every time I saw it. Kevin Hart was a little too drunk trying to get up on stage. I don't know what he was thinking. Look, I'm thinking, like, Bradley Cooper was in the box with the owner. I'm thinking if you don't know somebody, you just can't walk up on stage anyway. But Kevin Hart tried it. Didn't work.
You got this 6'6", 350-pound security guy, and you got Kevin. And Kevin's like, you gonna let me in?
Yeah, I saw that. I just kind of. Every time I saw a clip of that, I'd like turn the station. I just didn't want to see how bad that was going to get because I knew it was. So I was like, okay.
I missed that too. I heard about it on the radio, but I did miss that. Hilarious. But did you all? I don't want to cut the Super Bowl conversation short, but I just wanted to know if you all already talked about the Quincy Jones interview.
No. Okay. We might as well talk about it. You know, Quincy Jones is acting like somebody's really drunk. You're speaking of Kevin Hart. He's acting like somebody's drunk uncle because he is running off at the mouth like beyond. I know Quincy's 85. Like, I know. And at some point you get to tell your story. But in one interview, he blew out everybody from Michael Jackson stealing people's songs to, you know, Richard Pryor. And all. I mean, he is going to town. He said something about going on a date with Ivanka Trump or something. He is going off. Who knows what's going on with Quincy Jones? But he still got everybody else but himself. What'd you say?
He's off his meds, man.
Yeah, it seems that way. And I don't want to say that about Quincy. We all have respect for Quincy. But at the same time...
Mitch, what did you have to say about that?
Yeah.
Mitch
is a little quiet. What you have to say about Quincy?
Yeah, well, I heard... I actually didn't read the interview yet. I have to go read it. But I heard that he was talking about the Beatles and how horrible they were as musicians.
Yeah.
Right.
I forgot
right.
that
so I
one.
Said, okay, right. So he talked about that. Then he talked about, said things that I had never heard about Richard Pryor, Marvin Gaye, and I can't even remember the other brother that he brought in there.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember. It was another man that they brought in there, and Michael Jackson, and how he didn't pay people for the things that they wrote, and Michael was greedy and all this stuff. And I was like, well, wasn't he tight with Michael also?
Yeah.
You know, so anyway, he was just, I don't know what, you know, you all said he was off his ledge. It's like, I don't know what prompted him to have this interview at this time in his life and spew all of that, but they did say that he's writing a book. So I guess this is his fire and fury. This is his fire and fury to start the, you know, the media attention for the book that the tell-all book that he's about to write. So, you know, it just makes me wonder, like, where are you at right now in your life that you feel like we all need to know this? I love Quincy's music, but I heard you all say we all have respect for Quincy Jones. I have respect for his genius. And I'll pause there.
I think you got a check from the choir.
You think you got a check? Oh. Yeah.
I think you got a check from the choir.
Yeah, he was talking about Greg Fillinganes, and he said that he wrote the, I guess, break part of Don't Stop Till You Get Enough, or one of Michael's earlier hits. And he said he should at least gave him 10% of the royalties because he wrote, like, a whole course of it. And that was just being greedy, is what he said. And then he mentioned something about him and Prince not getting along. It was a one-sided feud that Prince didn't like him. And, you know, and... the reason that I think that he's off his meds is because LaToya, he made a comment about something, but LaToya, when Prince died, LaToya said she considered Prince a brother. Like, Prince was really nice to LaToya and Michael, and whatever antics Prince pulls on stage, and when Mike died, he played, like, he didn't sing a Michael Jackson song, but he played one, and... so it doesn't seem like that, and so who knows why Quincy Jones is throwing dirt on stuff that there's no witnesses to, right? Nobody can refute it, and now he's just throwing that out there. So I'm with Low Key on this. I think he's off his meds. That's what I'm going to say.
Oh, you said meds. I thought you said he's off the ledge. Well, that too.
So I think he's off his meds, and you know, I mean, you get close to the ledge like that.
You do.
I should still, you know, I still want to be relative. Damn it.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what he was always pretty much in the background, but this time I think he's coming out swinging. He was like, you know what? I'm not getting my due. He's like, I'm Rick James. Like, y'all need to know who I am. I'm Quincy Jones in this piece. Yeah.
Let's be realistic. Who's coming out wanting to say bad things about Richard Pryor at this point in life?
Who knows?
His ex-wife or his wife? I don't know. Richard Pryor's wife was saying, listen, Richard was proud of his bisexuality, didn't have any problems talking about it, and she said, and I'll be telling all about it in my book. So,
you know what, I'm not listening
said,
to none of them.
I know. She said it was in the 70s, and they were doing a lot of drugs, and the LSD or whatever other kind of drugs would make you. What did she say? Something crazy about how people would basically do anything on the drugs that folks were doing in the 70s. So that's
there
what
are
said.
So many. There are so many male figures who were wouldn't classify themselves as bisexual. Because they tried it once, or something happened at a party, they consider it to be a situation, occasion, or one time thing, and so they wouldn't see it that way, you know. So now, 30 years down the road, when somebody's saying that person's bisexual, no, I had an encounter, and that was a one time encounter, and you classify it the way you want. But when you got people at 85 years old tell stories about somebody, I mean, you know, that's a bit much.
Yeah. And so, because I'm thinking that they're equating it to, like, glorifying. You know, that something's wrong with that anyway, but I'm not going to go through that part. But just them glorifying that is crazy. Like, so now if you kept it quiet this long, just keep your mouth shut. Because if Richard wanted people to know that about him, Richard was a comedian. He could have said that on stage at any night that he decided to go out there and say something. So, you know, I don't have no respect for people who do that. You know, just generally, I can see if it was something that you want this. Like, even when Prince died, I can tell you from the stories that Van Jones told, for example, of Prince paying for all of the solar panels in Oakland. He said he didn't want anybody to know that, and we respect his wishes, but you need to know the philanthropy. Like, you need to know these other sides of him. Like, that is his deeds. But then when you start giving out personal information like somebody's mama used to beat him, like, that's just wrong. I think you're just sullying her name. You're just kind of being nasty, you know. So when I think about that, I was not remotely even going to cover any of that stuff about Quincy Jones and the Salacia stuff. Now, the funny stuff to me was the fact that he said that Paul McCartney, who he said he was the – worst bass player that he ever heard in his life. Like, I thought he was trashing them, but that was actually pretty funny to me. And then he said Ringo Starr took a couple hours to play like four chords or something. And he said, so he told him to take a break and get something to eat, brought a musician in for like less than 15 minutes, knocked it out. He came back and heard it, and he was like, that sounds great. And he said, yeah, it sounds great because it's not you, MF. Like, that was funny to me. But anyway, he's off his meds. I just want to say that for the record. Now, Loki, I want to know if you saw this story. A New York high school in Ithaca High School, they canceled a production of a senior play because they had a white team play the role of Esmeralda in The Hunchback of Notre Dame. So they had letters online signed by 27 members of their student United Ithaca, and they expressed their concerns over the high school's lack of. They said. The demographic inclusion. They had nobody of color. I don't know why they tried to get all fancy. That's why I'm laughing. But anyway, they said that the teen chosen to play the role of Esmeralda in that Disney drama was not who they had an issue with. They had an issue with the fact that they wouldn't put any diversity in there after they took that part away. Now, didn't this happen in North Syracuse? This is getting close.
It happened in North Syracuse, too, yeah. Yeah. You know, and this is the thing, man. What happened at that high school, this area, you've got to understand, and for people who are maybe listening, Ithaca is in an isolated area. I mean, it's surrounded by rural areas. I mean, that's the support to it. Those lines run in and out of it. So when you have a high school, and this is interesting down there because it's supposed to be one of the most progressive cities in Syracuse, you know, with a young black mayor and, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's funny, but I tell you, the students tend to stand together on things like that. They tend to make statements about things like that. They don't hide from it. They don't hide from it. And this is still the city where, I'm going to say about 10 to 12 years ago, you had a young student in elementary school discriminated against, and her mother won, I think, $1.7 or $2 million, you know, against the school district in the city. So it's, you know, it's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, so for such a small place, that, you know, they do have a lot of diversity, but they are progressive in how they kind of express, you know, like that outrage, because they do have a lot of racist stuff happen, and then they make some corrective measures. I can't remember the student that was killed at the fraternity thing, the black student. I think at one of the fraternity houses, and they, made corrective measures and kicked them off campus and all that. They didn't just blow it up under the rug down there. So I do have to say that Ithaca High School, area.
At first, they kind of dragged a little bit on it. They dragged a little bit on it. Oh, I think there's not a lot said because the family did sue and they did win.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, I can't make too much comment on that. I work for said university.
Hey, nobody knows this. So here's the thing. So, because this kind of fits into the program, though, is what I'm saying, is that we're talking about Justin Timberlake over Prince, and now we have, you know, even in the high schools, we're still trying to cover up people of color by Europeans just feeling like, oh, we're just like you now, like we can, Justin Timberlake is R&B, so black people should like it. Like, they always do that. And now there's a story that the first ancient Britons had black skin and curly hair and blue eyes, according to DNA tests. The extraordinary findings were made by cutting-edge genetic testing and facial reconstruction techniques carried out for first time on bones of what they call Cheddar Man, who died 10,000 years ago. Now, the bones were found in Somerset, Cheddar Gorge in 1903. They're the oldest near complete human skeleton ever found in Britain, and scientists say that they were surprised to discover that the earliest Briton would have been considered black if he lived today. So the researchers suggest the first inhabitants of Britain Isles developed white skin later on than previously thought. So experts have also revealed that the Cheddar Man is directly related to 1 in 10 people living in the U.K. today. Now, here's the thing,
you're trying to start a war, man.
No. Hey, they just happened to all be in the news in the same news cycle. This wasn't me, cherry picking this stuff. I didn't
know. Those are the president's cousins, and they don't even believe in global warming. So, I mean, you know.
Yeah, like I said, you know, if we look at the Harvard study that was in, I guess, April 2015, they also said that the DNA markers that actually whitened up skin, there was two markers 7,800 years ago, and the current version, the secondary marker that lightened the skin farther, is only 5,800 years old. So you find a skeleton that's 10,000 years old, and you're like, surprise, they're black. I think we crossed this bridge before. See, that's one thing that DNA technology did, they can't really fake. Except for that whole Nefertiti thing that they just really just King Tut's black, but his mama was white. That's what they tried to sell us on the Today Show last week.
Oh,
all right,
my God.
Well,
I heard
I heard that story of Cheddar Man, and they were talking about, you know, somebody, I can't remember who it was that said it, probably Trevor Noah, that said, you know, Meghan Markle is not, she's basically, you know, she's not disrupting the royal family. She's going back to claim her throne. But,
hello.
but there was another story that I heard earlier on when Meghan Markle, you know, the news about the engagement came out, Meghan Markle and Prince Harry, and they spoke about a black woman who was in a member of the royal family. And this is in, you know, I want to say, you all know what I'm talking about, right? So I want to say not we're not going back as far as Cheddar Man, right? We're talking about like recent history,
right.
In the, you know, the last hundreds of years or whatever. And so they did say this back then, a little bit ago, that this was a black woman who was married into the, who was in the royal family, a member of the royal family, and they never acknowledged her, ever, never.
Right.
You know,
right.
But right. And so, you know, this with Prince Harry, you know, got it legal. These are his roots that he's going back to. And whether the Queen wants to acknowledge it or she doesn't, I don't know. I haven't heard anything, any comments from her about Meghan Markle. But
well, just wanted to mention that as well. Yeah, her husband, Prince Philip, has said some racist things on the record, and she has said some as well. But even if you go back and get this, study the Dark Ages, you're going to find black people on the flags of Scotland and in Britain, those guys were black. So you're going to find that. But supposedly, that's why we call it the Dark Ages, but that's not an official thing.
Well,
Isn't that who Charlotte is named after? Huh?
Charlotte, North Carolina?
Queen Charlotte. It's actually named after her, the black woman that was in.
Right. Thank you. That's absolutely right. And she had started schools and all kinds of amazing things this woman did. So, it just had pissed me off so bad every time I hear these things that I was like, what the hell was I learning in history? Like, for real, though. What were they teaching?
Yeah.
Like, nothing. Nothing.
But again, this is why, you know, one of the reasons why, and don't mean to go back to the Prince thing, but this is one of the reasons why I don't like the whole Justin Timberlake thing. He actually went on TV after or before the Prince tribute and said something like he wants to carry on the legacy of Prince. I'm like, first of all,
you're not talented.
Right. So he's arrogant enough to even say that, and like you said, or Loki said, that – It is our problem that we are not checking people who do that. So that's why I'm glad Sinbad did and other people are coming out and saying, you know what, you bumped your head. You can't even make that claim. And for anybody who lets him get away with that nonsense needs to, you know, Timberland and all of them need to step up. So these stories are actually meshing the same point, is that supremacy says that everybody gets to turn, like in history, reflective. You know, remember people kept saying Prince must be biracial kind of thing. Both of his parents are black. So what happens is that as time goes on, they'll find John Mayer or somebody, and he'll be playing Prince in the next movie.
You know?
I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get a nightmare on that one.
Okay, so then that means that we just need to write the daggone movie. That's all. Let's go.
Exactly. But we're also, see, here's the thing about us, you know, and this is us as people, is that we're always so respectful of one another that movie wouldn't get made without us having the right clearances, but Lifetime will do, you know, a Prince movie.
Some fake one.
You know, they'll do one starring, I forgot who they had up. Remember they had the white guy up for the Michael Jackson movie.
Yes.
Like, they'll make one of those things in a minute. So it won't even be a singer. It'll be somebody like John Travolta as Prince. Like, it'll be like,
oh, my God.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was one of the stories that we did a long time ago. You know that they wanted John Travolta to star in Purple Rain. After Warner Brothers got it and they saw that it was Prince, they wanted him to play Prince's role in Purple Rain. John Travolta.
Can't work.
Yeah.
My stomach hurts.
That's what happens when you tap into that Scientology click, you know what I mean?
You can play anybody. Hell, Ron Hubbard-ish. You already know? Like, wait a minute.
Oh,
he played Jim
God.
Brown last week. Like, he gets to play anybody he wants to. He's like, next time he'll be playing somebody in North Korea. Like, he's just going to keep playing other roles. All right, on that note, let me say, let's go around and see what kind of stories that we have. Yeah.
I just have a question. I don't know that this is my story, but I have a question because I'm hearing a couple of comments about Bruno Mars and not only that he took away all of the Grammys, all these huge Grammys and stuff, but that he is also taking away black music. So I just wanted to talk to you all about that because I'm not quite sure yet what I think about that. So I wanted to know, what's the conversation about that for you all?
Yeah. I'm not really sure. Let me go to Low Key first. I'm not versed in that. Low Key, you have an impression of
it? Give the people what they want.
That's how you feel about it. Got to get it.
Listen. Until we stand up and make real statements, people, Bruno Mars can go on stage and sing that song, and they say he did one of the greatest shows in the Super Bowl. And come on, you know, it's like. Let Vanilla Ice do a comeback.
Exactly. Or no, Milli Vanilli-ish. Like, it's like, if we package this, we can sell this back to you. Now, I don't dislike Bruno Mars. I think he is a talented kid doing whatever he does. But we can't keep hanging the culture. Like, they're selling the culture back to us, which is crazy. And speaking of the Grammys, I am still kind of, well, the Grammys ain't never did anything for any of us, but Jay-Z not winning something for his 444 CD is crazy to me.
Right.
Because that is the most honest, that's grown folks' music. Jay-Z showed his age on there, had remorse for cheating on his wife, all these other things, talked about financial freedom for his daughter and things that he, like, it was very grown. That is Grammy, that's worthy of any kind of award that we can have in music as far as having something honest out there, opposed to shooting, shaking butt, making money, which you get Grammys for, apparently, but you can't get it on the honesty side of, and mind you, it went platinum before Jay-Z let any other, it's probably why he didn't get it. It went platinum before he let any other distributor sell his music. So he sold it on Tidal. It went platinum on Tidal. Then he gave it to, you know, Apple Music and all these other guys and let them sell it before, you know, after it actually went platinum. That's a huge feat. And so that was worthy of a mention.
Well, the problem with that is they demonized them on the cheating. I mean, come on. You know, and it was a great album. It had to perform it, and you had to listen to it over and over again because that was putting down some real issues. But you know, when you get demonized by the whole cheating thing, and understand, it's easy to demonize a black man if he cheats.
Yeah,
if you're the president,
let me tell you, I was just watching. What is his name? Neil Diamond? Is it Neil Diamond who recently passed? Was it? Or got. Well, I think it was. But anyway, you know, he made that song Sweet Caroline. They always sing it at baseball games and all that. He was talking about JFK's daughter. Like, how do you do that to some child, like some 10-year-old, make a song? No, it's a big song, right? So everybody's singing it, drinking beer, Sweet Caroline, but they don't realize that he's singing to his daughter, who is a child. And, you know, Neil Diamond is praised by the industry. We look at rather that song Layla by, you know, George Harrison, but the guitar player. Yeah, I can't remember his name. But anyway, you know, he's making a song about George Harrison's wife, who he ended up, like, they don't scrutinize the music for their ethics inside their music. So, again, they would do that for Jay-Z. Yeah, unless it's rap. But they don't care if you're talking about, you know, I ain't saying she's a gold digger. You know, you can get a Grammy for that.
Oh, God. Right?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So anyway,
Woody Allen and his foolishness, right? Nothing ever happened to him.
Going back to Commissioner saying about the whole Mars thing is, I mean, it's just another pop icon. You know what I mean? Just somebody else singing pop music, and then they, and like you said, repackage it and sell it back to us. You know.
Right.
The dancing, the whole nine, like everything about it. Even his old band is black. You know.
Yeah.
Right. But if you look at, like, music traditionally is like that for me. It's like when you look at most songs that you like, even by white artists, they actually have black background singers. When you talk about, or, you know, in musicians, David Bowie and all of those guys, even when England, you know, in the 80s and 90s, as those guys were coming over, they had black people in the rhythm section. They were singing these hooks and giving them, you know, kind of blessing their song with some kind of vibration that they're selling back to us, saying, hey, aren't they, Robert Palmer, isn't he great? And it's like, yeah, but didn't she do that? But, you know, you know what I mean? Like, when we're looking at these other black bands, I mean, I'm not mad at them for producing this music. They had to make money, but, I mean, I shouldn't say it that way. It's not the money, but they did what they did as musicians. But it's for me, looking at Bruno Mars in particular, you know, yeah, he can admire the music and then want to duplicate it and stuff, but he is no substitute for anybody who actually organically does that music. So I wouldn't say, you know, hey, I'll take Bruno Mars over Usher. You know, like, it's like, come on now. Like, he's good pop-wise. It's like Madonna. Remember Madonna used to take all those liberties like she was kind of black or something? Like, she used to do that. And so at some point, somebody had to put her in the category, and now who do Madonna appeal to? Just a total white and gay audience. Like, that's Madonna's niche now. Because as she got older, she couldn't even fake that no more. He was like, hey, get that out of here. You know what I mean?
Right.
So before she just wanted to be in the clubs. So, you know, as I watch that stuff, I'm not big on Bruno Mars, but I don't dislike him. I'm just saying, as long as he don't pull a Timberlake, because that's going to be an adjective now, but, like, as long as he don't pull one of those, he's going to be all right.
Didn't he perform with Beyonce at the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Yeah, last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I'm thinking that he has a. I think those people who have, like, mutual respect. You know who I actually really like is John B. Like, John B.
Yeah.
When he makes music, he made his. I mean, he played the piano. He made it organically. You never heard Tina Marie disrespect black folks like you don't hear Eminem do it. They're like, nope. I admire this, and here's who I idolize, and I'm just trying to fit in wherever I can. They never take it so far to be like, you know what, I'm the number one in this piece and all that stuff goes to me. I'm the heir apparent. Those guys never do that. Tina Marie has never. She admired, you know, and loved Aretha Franklin and all that. All those vocalists. She didn't say, like, I'm Tina Marie, so I could just go get white folks it to substitute that black. She didn't even want to be around him. So what? I shouldn't say it that way, but anyway, because she passed, so we're not putting words in her mouth. But all right,
she put her irons on the fire.
You said
right,
that,
right, right.
I said she put her irons in the fire. That was my girl.
Sure did.
Tina.
Uh huh. Tina. All right. Loki, is there any stories that we missed or anything that you want to talk about?
No.
I know you said you had
a
couple before.
I'm still thinking about which one. Still thinking about which one.
All right.
I think on the next show, you know, we might do a political segment, man, because I really want to bash a few people, call a few people out, like Paul Ryan.
Oh, yeah. You know, I didn't do any political stuff on this.
Duty.
I mean, you know, I skipped those. But I'm going to do two. A married Republican lawmaker voted for stricter laws against prostitution. He has resigned after an escort claimed that he met her twice for sex. So John Stanford paid a call girl, known professionally as Bree Taylor, for sex during business trips to Salt Lake City in 2017. So the conservative politician was elected to the Utah House of Representatives in 2002. He's 39, and he's gone. And Nashville's mayor, Megan Barry, no affiliation to Mayor Barry.
Mayor Barry.
The other Mayor Barry. Yeah, I want to say his name. she was caught having an affair with her bodyguard. So after she revealed that she is not going to resign, but she did say that it's been over, but won't say how long it's been since it's been over. So, you know.
When the story broke.
We do.
They were comparing her to Seal's wife. What was Seal's wife's name again?
Was it Heidi Klum?
Yes, Seal's wife? Yes. Because she ran off with a bodyguard.
Oh, did she? Oh, my God. Everybody watched that movie and took it literally. That's just wrong. Bodyguard. Kevin Costner was in that piece.
You
right,
know, she
well,
was I, go, I have to look at that face one more time.
Did you all watch the Simone Biles story?
I did watch the Simone Biles story.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't.
You know what? It was a really. What did you think about it, Kathleen?
I didn't get through the whole thing. I kind of had to watch the end of one and the beginning of another. I think I have it recorded to watch it this weekend. But what they showed of her, what I got to see that I admired so much was the fact that she is so gifted. She was born to be a gymnast. She was born to be a gymnast. And she's so gifted that even the coaches, when they saw her, when she was in the gym, just like in the gym hanging out with her dad, no coach, no nothing, somebody looked at her and like, she's not supposed to be able to do that. That was the response. She's not supposed to be able
right.
to do that. And she was doing
right.
it already. Right. So she was already so far beyond the young girls that were already training. So when she started, she was brilliant. And, you know, with all that she went through, you know, with her mother and all that stuff, they really went in on her mom, which is the part that always makes me feel bad.
Simone's point is that Simone didn't remember her because she was so little. She doesn't remember her. So that's why even in the movie she calls her mother by her first name, because Simone, who was the youngest child, said she didn't remember her. So it's not like she's missing anything because she was raised by her grandmother, who she calls mom. They adopted her. So she never the one part of the story that I actually thought was really cool is that, you know, her parents owned, I guess they owned like a nursing home and some other, like they had properties, businesses. They sold the business to build a gym. And she goes to the Olympics, and I'm like, the gym wasn't even finished when she got, after Olympics, it just got finished. So they started a whole new business around her, which was actually pretty cool. I was like, that's pretty brave to do.
That was amazing. Yeah,
but they kept
amazing.
Saying there was no place for her to go kind of thing, so they made a gym for her. And she just recently announced that she is training now for the next Olympics.
So I thought it was really excited that and especially that she participated in the making of the movie. I appreciated that as well. So that was the one thing. And then the last thing I wanted to ask you all, I did not see this movie. It's on Netflix. Shout out to Monique. But Mudbone, did anybody watch that with Mary J. Blige?
I didn't see that.
You have to answer
some of that. Nope. and I don't know why I said it that way, because I don't know anything about it. I was like, nope. I didn't watch any Oscar-nominated movies. I'm sorry, Kathleen.
You
I should have been muted.
Like the old pork.
Nope.
You sound like the old guy.
Nope.
She said Mudbone, and I said nope. Like, I don't know what it invoked in me. My bad.
Oh, my gosh. It does sound like a Black Liquor movie. It does, but a Brown Liquor movie. But, I mean, you said the way you said that, it was so much came behind it that you just said nope, and they ain't going to see it either.
that's pretty much how I felt about it too. I was like, nope, and ankles. That's exactly what my thought was. Sorry about that. All right, continue, Kathleen. My fault. My fault. I'm sorry.
Well, I didn't see either, so I can't say nothing about it.
Well,
but
Mary
I'm
J
going
is.
To watch it. I am going to watch it.
Mary J, she is nominated for an Oscar, I think, right?
Yes.
Isn't she nominated? Okay. My
yes,
bad.
She is. Hey, she's nominated. And she has she's done some, she's had some roles in a few movies. She had one
lead.
In that Tyler Perry movie. First lead. She's had a couple of roles, but she hasn't been that great of an actress. Oh, she did. No,
Tyler
sorry.
Perry
she did
don't
that
count.
Correct.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
She
don't count. Nope. Tyler Perry, say it for me, Rome. The Tyler Perry call?
Man, you know how I feel about that.
She did
that's,
Coretta
you,
and
you,
Betty.
If you count,
she did Coretta.
If you were counting, if you were counting the four, you'd go one, one,
one, and then the Coretta Betty. We got that two. We'll go on that one.
Oh my God!
I'm gonna say
she was better
nope.
in Coretta and Betty than any.
Okay,
she was.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was better than Coretta and Betty, so she's been working hard at it. So, so now she's nominated for an award, which is huge. It's huge.
Mhm. Mhm.
Yeah. Oh, you know, I do have one last story. You know, in really rich people news. You know Tom Golisano, who ran for governor of New York State? She's married. He's married to former tennis Hall of Famer Monica Seles. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's refusing to pay his $90,000 school tax. Now, he's a billionaire. I'm sorry, billionaire Tom Golisano is refusing to pay his $90,000 school tax bill because Canadian geese have overrun his upstate lake house. So the Paychex founder, who is 76, believes that his property tax bill should be discounted because of the constant bird droppings all over his yard. Thank you very much, and Rich People News. rich people problems, man. Hey, wait a minute. If the birds are going to keep going to the bathroom on my car, I don't think I need to pay my property tax. I'm just going to put that out there. If Tom Golisano.
I'm going to take my car note.
I'm going to pay the car note.
Exactly. I'll be like, look, can y'all do something about
car.
That? But
if you keep talking, I'm gonna have Bruno Mars do a concert.
Of the Apollo. We'll get to that next week. I'll bring that up next week. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Serena's
for
coming
saving
back. Serena's coming back. Yeah. She's ready to
play.
Okay,
I have no. Okay, I have no comment on Serena. And you know, I think Tiger's back too, right?
I do, but I'm not gonna say nothing.
See, I know. See, I'm with you, low-key. I'm not going to say nothing either. Because Kathleen's going to mute us.
I know what that means.
It
right,
is not
going to
get
me. Next week.
I'm going to put on my
pants.
It is
not going to get prettier.
I'm going to come looking for you next week, low-key. Don't
okay. Okay.
I'll be here.
Yeah, I'll be here with my
tan dancing shoes on.
Okay, so we know next week's show is going to be nothing but news and Serena Williams.
Like, that's all I'm going to say. There's a nice outfit.
Yeah. Now, I think we're going to be done with Bruno Mars, but I think Serena Williams is on deck. So I just won't say that. So on that note, I guess we're all tuning in next week. Thanks for joining in. And, you know, Kamish, that is low key. That is actually on the program. Just so that
hey.
You got his voice.
Bye bye.
Have my theme music next week, please.
Okay, I got you. I got you. Courtesy of low key, there will be theme music.
That's right. That's
thank
right.
you.
Wait a minute.
The
what's the theme music again, low key?
What's bye the theme down. Music? The one and only.
Bye down. Okay,
bye
you got
down.
Some cues in there. Okay. You got it. All right. Let's check it out next week.
All right.
All right. Hey there.